Range of that 85 years. I think retirement at 65 has done us a lot of damage. There are three cultures that do not have retirement. People are expected to work till they die, and their health and their lifetime expectancy is far more than flabby, fat Americans. With all of our problems. Retirement is not a biblical concept. Be thou faithful unto 65. Is that what it says? No, be thou faithful unto death. I heard a term this last week that I really was impressed with. A lady was talking about how much senior saints could do in the Lord's kingdom. And she said, it's not retire, it's refire. Refire. A lot of times, if you've been fortunate to where you do have a Social Security or retirement plan, it allows you all of a sudden to have a kind of independence you didn't have before. You don't have to necessarily go into the office or to the store or wherever it is. Now you have a lot more freedom. And you can use that freedom in the service of God, and it will keep you going. I've been preaching now for over 60 years, and I can't tell you the number of times I've known individuals, good people that I loved, who couldn't wait till 65 so I could retire and sit down and do nothing. I'm thinking of two really fine men who sat down and died within 2 years. You can't quit. You need to be faithful unto the Lord. You need to be serving Him as strongly when you're 85, as when you were 35. I fully believe that. And I think we're making a big mistake when we think it's time to retire. No, it's time to refire. It's time to get back to work. My brother demonstrated that. Both he and I had been trained by Brother Ivan Stewart years ago and had done a lot of personal work. But he was an insurance, retirement plan kind of guy that went around and talked to people about Dave Ramsey-type ideas and made his living that way. Well, he had practiced what he preached, and when he reached 65, he went working full-time for the Lord for free. He works with Home Mission for one area, but he baptizes a number of folks every year, and he keeps his schedule just like he did when he's working for the insurance people. He makes appointments and goes out and studies with people, and he has trouble because he can't understand why he can't get other people to do that. I think we need to look at this fellow Caleb. We need to look about his heart. We need to look at his character, and there's a whole lot I can learn about from Caleb, and I think that we all can too. So let's talk about how to climb our mountains and how to conquer our giants. Is it amazing, this fellow? If you go back and you read the passages that describe what happened when the children of Israel came from Mount Sinai after they'd received the Ten Commandments and then traveled to the edge of what we would call the Promised Land, and then Moses sent the spies in as he was supposed to do. And the Lord instructed him to choose one man from every tribe and a leader and let them go in and spy out the land and see whether it was good or bad, see whether the people were strong or weak, see whether the nations, the cities were well fortified or not so, whether the land was good and whether it had good crops. And one of the things that impressed me years ago when I was in Israel was they had all these little trinkets made out of olive wood. And I brought home two or three of them. One I didn't bring home, and I kind of wished I had. They had the figures of two men and with a pole between them and a cluster of grapes big as they were nearly carrying out of there. And the Bible says that's really what happened. They found it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. But the cities were well fortified and the people were strong. And they were. They were far, far superior to that of the Israelites. One day we were at Megiddo, when I was in Israel. And there was a group of preachers that had all been, we'd all been given free trips to go over. So we'd go bring other people back. And that worked on everybody but me. I haven't been back. I'd love to, but I just don't have time for all the work I need to be involved with here. And one of the gentlemen was quite a historian. And I remember being at Megiddo, and Solomon had his barns there for his chariots, horses, and all. And he brought me over there, and he showed me a particular place there where a piece of stone had been put down. And he said very likely Solomon stepped over that precipice there, that place there where the floor was. And it was just very interesting. Another time, too, we were looking at one of the ruins of one of the cities, and he called me aside, and he pointed out, he said, "You notice how the first few rows of stone is very well cut and precisely fitted? And then upon that, if you look what's above that, it's just field stone. It's just stacked in there." He said, "Now, that lower area was done by the Canaanites. They were far superior in their structure, how they could build things compared to the Israelites. They were a bunch of tramps that came through the wilderness led by Moses and by the Lord. The 10 spies who came back and said, the cities are well fortified and they have huge armies and the men are like giants to us and we look like grasshoppers as we looked at them, and that's the way they saw us. The fellows who came back and said, we cannot physically take this land. If you only figured the material, the physical, the things that we could see and hear, they were exactly right. But Joshua and Moses remembered something else. God said we could. You know, the Apostle Paul uses a phrase. He says, it is not I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Christ makes all the difference. God makes all the difference. Caleb didn't have to wonder if whether or not at 65, at 85, if he could take those giants. He knew he could take them back 40 years ago, 45 years ago, because he knew he wasn't going to be the one doing it. God was going to strengthen him. God was going to help him. You know, most folks today don't have time for church. We invited a bunch of folks today. Not one of them came. I thought we were really going to have some folks here, but they don't have time for church. And they don't realize that they're walking away from the only real power, the only real force of strength that any of us can really rely on. And that's the Lord God Himself. Caleb and Joshua were the only two of the 12 spies that survived going and spying out the land. When the other 10 came back, God was so angry, he killed them all with a plague, except for Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb is exactly right when he tells Joshua, he said, "You remember, God said, because I had a different attitude, because I followed God wholly, that I would be preserved to this time. Now, therefore, give me this mountain." All those years in the wilderness, because the people believed the 10 spies and disbelieved the 2, God was so angry with them, he said, "Your whole generation will die in the wilderness, and I'll bring your children in." And he did. Caleb, Joshua, had to go through those 40 horrible years of one constant funeral. But because they stayed true to God through whatever they had to face, God brought them into the land just as he had promised. The Apostle Paul makes a statement in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It wasn't him, it was Christ. The Christian has a strength and has a power and an ability that nobody else in the world can claim. I guess it shows out most, maybe at our funerals. I've had to do a few funerals for people who had no hope. It's the saddest situation. When I was at Tusculum Church of Christ, I may have told you this story, I can't remember. When I was at Tusculum Church of Christ, one Sunday, one of the ladies came by and said, John, we've had something happen terrible over at Vanderbilt. There was a house over there that was known as the drug house. The folks that lived there are all druggies. And one of them died of an overdose. And her father is so mad at her, he refuses even to come and get her body and bury it. And the kids that live in that house are so angry, she said, I'm afraid of what's going to happen. And I was wondering, would you hold a funeral service for this girl? And so I said, well, let me check with my elders. I think we will. And so we did. And I was so amazed when we came. It was a Thursday afternoon service, I believe, and 2:30 or so in the afternoon. I came driving in, and the whole parking lot is full of cars. And I remember counting 8 police cars among them. And the police cars were just kind of moving around through the... I thought, well, this could be a little different service. And it was. People with blue hair. Now, that's not as uncommon. That's not as uncommon now as it was then. But they'd have blue hair. They'd have spikes. They'd be wearing collars with spikes out of them. Chains. All kinds of stuff. Weird bunch. And there were several of the students who insisted on speaking. And so I thought, this will be entertaining. And sure enough, they expressed it. In fact, I've been in this situation 2 or 3 different times. They expressed their rage. Some of them at their friend for dying. I remember the phrase, I've heard it several times, and we'll never see them again. And they won't. When you die without God and without hope, that's terrible. That's terrible. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Just like Brother Harrison was talking about the goal and purpose of Heritage Christian University. We need to persuade men because there's a terror out there. Well, for the Christian, it doesn't have to be that way, does it? It doesn't have to be like that at all. I love this fellow, Caleb. He shows you how to climb mountains, and he shows you how to drive out giants. Apparently, they were huge people. It even names 3 of them that he had to drive out. And he did. He did. How do you conquer your giants? By the help and strength of Jesus Christ. What are the giants in your life? All of us have some, don't we? All of us have some mountains to climb. All of us have storms to deal with, don't we? I heard one fellow say, you're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're fixing to go into a storm. And you can relate that to mountains as well, can't you? Either you're climbing a mountain, you're on top of a mountain, you're down in the valley with the next mountain coming. That's life, isn't it? the storms, the mountains, the giants. It could be your last visit to the doctor. It could be when your employer says, I can't pay you anymore. It can be when your loved one is very, very sick or dies. We all have mountains. We all have problems. Sometimes it's family members. The thing that kept Caleb strong was his faith in the Lord. When he was 40, he trusted God. When it became difficult in the wilderness wanderings, he trusted God. And he never forgot the promise. He never forgot what the Lord had in store for him. And so some 45 years later, he had remained true to the cause, true to the purpose. He did right even when it didn't feel good. Whether anybody else did it or not, he did it. Will you do that? Will you choose from here on out to conquer your giants, to climb your mountains, to remain true to the Lord, whether anybody else does or not? Those of us that are aware of the circumstances going on in America today know that we may have mountains in front of us that we never dreamed we'd face. And all of us as we get older, I heard that today about Tommy. That just hurts me. Tommy attended at Tusculum when I was there many, many years ago. He's got a mountain to face, doesn't he? And some of you have just come over a mountain looking pretty good. Maybe it didn't happen. Oh, yeah, it did, didn't it? Yeah, it did. Well, that was true for Caleb. It happened, but he was ready. And God blesses him. God helps him be victorious. And we'll never forget men like Caleb and Joshua. That would be true whether anybody else was or not. What is your spiritual situation today? Are you climbing up that mountain and about ready to give up? Are you on top? Can you see far, far, far away? Are you in the valley? It's dark down there. You don't know whether you can ever get out of there or not. The same Lord, the same God, the same Jesus that helped Caleb, Joshua, Paul, Peter, all the great names of the Bible. I made a list of people that had climbed mountains, and most all the great biblical names was in that list. You will have your challenges, so will I. It may be the mountain of temptation. Satan may have something on you. He is the accuser, you know. He may have something he uses on you over and over and over again. Jesus is the answer in all of these situations. You know that, don't you? He wants you to come and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins more than anything else in the world. Why? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus died on that cross. That's how badly he wanted you to let him help you. With your mountains, with your valleys, with your giants, with your storms. And he wanted to help you with the biggest one. That's your sin. If you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, I'm going to encourage you today to come to him and let him help you with your mountains. If you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters, perhaps you've fallen into sin. Perhaps you're having a struggle and you need our help and encouragement. And you need the Lord's strength. We are ready and willing to pray for you today. Whatever your need, won't you come while together we stand to sing?